Title of today's message, Good News About Hard Times. Good news about hard times. Anybody going through any hard times? Anybody having any difficulties? Anybody have any trials along the way? Or have you found the Christian life to just be gumdrops and lollipops and ice cream all the time? Never a care in the world, never any worries? I haven't found that. There's always trials. Let's look at James, if you have your Bible, the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, there's an old saying, you've probably heard it. When life hands you a lemon, what do? You make lemonade. Now, it's a lot easier to just smile at that statement than to practice it, but it's really good advice. It's sound advice. It's even biblical. The basic philosophy is true. Throughout the Bible, there are people who turned defeat into victory, who turned trials into triumph. Instead of being victims, they became victorious. And so can we, if we belong to Jesus. James tells us that we can have this same experience today, that we do not have to let trials defeat us or drag us down or destroy us or depress us or get us off track, cause us to quit. We don't have to. Whether we are dealing with trials on the outside or temptations on the inside, the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit gives us what we need. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have the victory. We have the victory. I think of Paul in Romans chapter 8, where he was talking about all the things that may try to separate us from the love of God. Perils and distress and famine and this and that. And all the things that we've experienced and that he experienced. And he said, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. No trials, no tests, no tribulations can destroy us. We are more than conquerors, even through all of that. Now, what kind of a person would suggest to us that we should be joyful when we face trials? James wrote there, consider it all joy. Count it all joy. What kind of a person thinks that way? Have they lost their marbles? Oh, I'm facing a trial. Hooray! Well, the kind of person that would suggest to us that we be joyful when we face trials is one who's been there and done that. They have faced trials. They have learned to be joyful even in trials. I've got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. We may not be happy. We may not like the circumstances, but that joy, that deep abiding joy can still be there, because we have faith in Christ. So it's three steps that we're going to look at today. And these three verses, very simple, nothing difficult about this message. It's harder to apply and live it out than it is to see the simplicity of it. The three steps to make hard times good. To make the hard times good. Number one, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's what verse 2 says. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Notice that James assumes that we will experience trials. It's not a matter of if, but when. He doesn't say, count it all joy if you fall into various trials. He says, when you fall into various trials. I remember a long time ago, we were in worshiping in Florence, and there was a lady in the church that we admired, and she had just lost her husband, who was very dear to her. And she was still able, very shortly after that, to give praise to the Lord. And she said, the Scripture says that God says, I will be a husband to you. And she was still able to praise the Lord. And I thought at that time, you know, at that time in my life, we were pretty young in Christ. And I thought, will I be able to testify of the goodness of God when I face trials? I hope to have that kind of faith. I remember thinking of that. And God does. He gives us the grace. Through all the things that we face, we can still say God is good. See, Christians must expect trials. The old song says, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. It's not going to be easy every day, every step of the way. We are going to expect and face trials. Jesus in John 16 said, in this world you will have tribulation. You will. May not have had it yet, but you will. But Jesus went on to say, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We can be of good cheer even when we have tribulation. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 14, he was at Antioch. And he wrote this, or he said this to them there. He said, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations. Now this was right after Paul had been stoned by the crowd, stoned to death with rocks. He was nearly killed. And he said, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. We will face trials. There are many kinds of trials that we will face. Some trials come simply because we are human. Any human beings out there today? Because you are human, because you have flesh and bone, you will have trials just because of that. There may be sickness. Anybody been healthy every single day of their life and felt great? None of us, probably, right? We've all had some kind of sickness along the way. Some of you may be facing ongoing serious medical problems right now and wondering what's going to become of it. What does the future hold? Some of you may have been in accidents. Sometimes we have accidents. We injure ourselves. We get hurt in car wrecks and different things. One of our hymn writers that has 25 hymns in our hymn book, Charles W. Naylor was injured in an accident. They were working in a tent revival, and as he was working with that, he had an accident, was injured. And then a year later, he was in a bus accident that left him an invalid for the rest of his life. And he still wrote hymns that praise God. We will face trials. And then, of course, there's death. That so many of us worry about, so many of us are afraid of, but it's inevitable. Sooner or later, we're all going to be overtaken by the undertaker. It's going to catch us, and we don't need to worry about that. The Bible says that Jesus delivered us from the fear of death. It says that all of their lifetimes, people were held in bondage because of their fear of death, but we don't have to be that way. Thanks to Jesus. So trials will come simply because we're human. Other trials come because we are Christians. Other trials will come because you are a believer in Christ. Because Satan fights us and the world opposes us, we can expect trials. Listen to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4. He wrote, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. A fiery trial. Notice he said that you can rejoice as you're going through this fiery trial. Jesus said in John 15, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Some trials come just because we're Christian. Paul wrote to a young pastor named Timothy, says, everyone who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So some trials come because we're human, some trials come because we're Christian. But trials do come. So what should be the Christian's response to all of this? to all of these trials and tests and heartache and difficulty that we face, what should be our response? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. This was the attitude of the apostles in the book of Acts chapter 5. It's a great story. Go home and read Acts chapter 5, not the part where Ananias and Sapphira fall dead because of deceiving the Holy Spirit, lying to the Holy Spirit, but the part after that, where the apostles were doing great wonders. People were being healed, and the chief priests and the Sadducees, they were jealous and envious of them, and they had them arrested and thrown into prison, commanded to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. But in the night, an angel of the Lord came and set them free and said, go into the temple and preach Jesus. And that's where they went. The next day, the Sanhedrin, the ruling officials, sent to have them brought from the prison. And the guards came back and said, they're not in the prison. Somebody else came in and said, hey, those guys that you arrested, they're in the temple teaching the people. They were brought into the council again. They were judged, they were condemned, they were ordered not to preach in the name of Jesus. They were even beaten. Peter said, hey, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that chapter ends with the apostles. It says in verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They faced all that, and they were rejoicing. Paul in Romans chapter 5 says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Count it all joy, because God is working, even in the midst of it. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he says, you have joy even though you may have had to suffer for a little while. Your troubles have come in order to prove that your faith is real. Our faith is tested. And it comes to prove that our faith is real. So the first step to make hard times good is to immediately adopt a joyful attitude. Count it all joy. But how is it possible to rejoice in the midst of trials? That leads us to step number 2, which is in verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. How many of you all wish that you had more patience? Well, it doesn't come like magic. It doesn't come by waving a magic wand. It doesn't come by God just suddenly endowing you with power from on high and saying, boom, Rick, now you have patience. He works it into us by facing trials and tests. We don't like it. That's the only way we can learn it. See, when we understand the value of trials, we can have a joyful attitude. Sounds crazy, but we can. See, God allows us to face trials to test our faith. Just as fire purifies steel, so trials purify our faith. I think there's an amazing illustration here, if you'll bear with me for just a minute, because I spent 39 years in the steel mill. I know a thing or two about making steel, about heating steel and purifying steel. Down at Nucor in the melt shop, Mike could explain this a lot better than I could because he worked there for a long time. But they take a bunch of scrap, a bunch of scrap steel that's been reclaimed from salvage yards and junk piles all over the place, and they put it into a furnace, and they apply thousands and thousands of amps of electricity to that to heat it up. And when it gets, the hotter it gets, I mean like 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit is what we're talking about here. It gets hot and it begins to melt. And what happens when it becomes liquid? Steel can be liquid. Hard to imagine for those that have never been in a steel mill. It can become liquid like water, except it's red and glowing. And when it becomes liquid, all of the impurities, the stuff, the junk that's in all that scrap, come to the top. comes to the top, and then when it comes time to cast that into the casting machine, it comes out the bottom of the ladle. The furnace is emptied into a ladle, and then the ladle's set up high, and then it comes out the bottom, and all the junk is left out. Well, there's another illustration there in making this steel into something valuable, is it is squeezed through a mold. It goes through tremendous pressure. And then in the rolling mill, it goes through thousands and thousands of tons of pressure to roll that into something that we can make cars and appliances and bridges and so forth out of. Extreme pressure and extreme heat purifies steel and makes it into something valuable, something usable. And so in the same way, our trials, the pressure and the heat of the moment and the things that we face every day are shaping us into something fit for the Master's use. We can have joy in trials, knowing what it's doing in our lives. Right now, the Olympics are going on. A lot of you are probably watching it, no doubt. Just as the training makes the athlete stronger, so trials strengthen our faith. How many of you know the name Katie Ledecky? A swimmer that's won so many gold medals. I heard last night that she had been defeated. She lost a race to the person she was racing against, swimming against yesterday. How much do you think her losing one of the races to that girl inspired her to train even harder? She went through a trial. She worked even harder, became even stronger, and she won the gold medal last night, or yesterday. We watched it last night in the 800-meter race. Do you know that's a half a mile? Can you imagine swimming half a mile just as hard as you can swim? But training makes the athlete stronger, so trials strengthen our faith. God could have kept Paul from a shipwreck, but he didn't, because he strengthened Paul and others through that trial. God could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den, but he didn't. People were able to see the glory of God because Daniel suffered in that way. See, we can have joy in trials because we know that even in the trials, God is for us. Testing works for us and not against us. Paul wrote this, "Our light and momentary afflictions are working for us in eternal glory that far outweighs them all." In the Old Testament book of Genesis, Joseph, the favorite son of his father, was sold into slavery, accused of rape and imprisoned for years and years and years. Finally, he was released, and he was able to help his family, save his family from famine. And when his brothers came in to buy grain because they were starving, he did not seek revenge on them. He helped them. And he said this to them. He said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." God allowed him to go through all those trials in order to preserve many people alive, to save his family. So our trials, God is working for us, not against us. Another thing about trials teach us to depend less on ourselves and to depend more upon God. Paul was telling the Corinthian church about the hardships that he faced in Asia. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life." Anybody felt like that? I'm just at the end of my rope. I just wish I could just go on, just pass from this life. Paul was there. He said he despaired even of life. But he wrote, "Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened," listen, he says, "this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." One purpose of trials is to teach us to not rely so much on ourselves, but to rely on God. I can do it myself. That's what we think, right? Trials may come to teach us that, hey, not everything's in our control. We have to depend on God. Sometimes our trials are so difficult, we don't know where to turn. But they should always drive us to our knees and cause us to turn to God. Rick Warren wrote, "You never know God is all you need until God is all you've got." And then you find that He is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Another thing about trials, keep this in mind. Realize that all of your trials are what we might say Father filtered. They all come through the hands of a good God. The Bible says He will not allow more on us than what we're able to bear. He is good to us. He is for us. Satan asked God in the Old Testament book of Job for permission to afflict Job with severe trials, great losses that he suffered. Jesus told Peter in the New Testament that Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And the devil is after us as well. The devil wants to attack you also. But in the trials that God allows, He is working for you, not against you. So it brings us to step three. Patience must have its perfect work so you may be perfect and complete. We can't run out. We can't look for the exit door. We can't say, I've had enough, I'm done with this. To truly turn trials into triumph, we must let patience do its work. Most of the time, we don't want to face problems at all, do we? No, I don't want to go through that. From the simplest to the most difficult thing, we don't want to face them. And when we do face them, we want to get over them quickly. But sometimes, the best course is to just bear up under the trial patiently. Say, God, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to learn? Help me to grow through this. Instead of grumbling and complaining, patiently endure. The trial comes to pass eventually. Instead of asking for a lighter load, how about praying for more strength? The hymn in our hymnal, Day by Day, has this phrase in it. It says, as thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. Whatever your day brings, whatever trials and struggles it brings, your strength will be there. God will supply it. Let patience do its work. You see, faith tested produces patience, and patience produces character. God's plan for us is that we will grow more and more in the image of Christ, be more and more like His dear Son. The Bible says that Jesus was made perfect through suffering. What do you mean? He wasn't perfect already? He never sinned? No guile was ever found in His mouth? In His mouth, how could He be made perfect through suffering? In order to be qualified to be our high priest and to identify and sympathize with our weaknesses, He too faced trials and temptations so that He could learn what it's like, so that He could be sympathetic toward us. And He is. When patience has had an opportunity to work, it produces maturity. Anybody want to grow up and be an adult spiritually? If we're going to grow in the character of Christ, we are going to face trials. In order to grow up spiritually and no longer be a babe in Christ, we are going to have to face some trials and tests. You see, maturity comes only when we have persevered through many trials. Consider the Olympics again, these people that are running long distances. The concept of a marathon. Anybody of you all ever run a marathon? I think it's 26 miles. There's a place over in Greece called Marathon. Where that comes from? And it was running from, I forget what city, to Marathon was that distance. But to be a good runner, to be a mature runner, requires letting perseverance do its work. They have to run mile after mile, day after day, year after year, in order to achieve the great heights and to win the prize. And if we wish to run the race that we are in, which is a spiritual race, we need to develop perseverance, which comes only through a form of spiritual resistance training. trials, tests, struggles. Trials in which our faith is put to the test. I'm going to close with an illustration about Jesus the refiner. A woman in a Bible study group was puzzled by the words of Malachi 3:3, which says this, "He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." So the study group decided to visit a silversmith and learn what they could on the subject. The silversmith showed them the process. The lady asked, "But sir, do you sit while the refining is going on, like Malachi 3:3 says, he shall sit as a refiner of silver?" He said, "Oh yes, indeed, I must sit with my eyes steadily fixed on the surface. For if the time necessary for refining is exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver is sure to be damaged. I only know when the process is complete by seeing my own image reflected in that silver." God will not allow you to stay in that trial, that fiery trial, a minute longer than what is necessary to see His image in you. That's the good news about hard times. Jesus wants to see His image in us. Count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because Jesus is working in you to perfect you, to mature you, to make you more like Him. We can bear up under it, can't we?